From the October 27th, 1997 edition of the Cook County News Herald, welcome back to Magnetic North, and to a time of year where some of us begin to feel just a little disoriented, sluggish, achy, or just plain weirder than usual. After years of keeping goats, chickens, and other critters, I've learned tons about my human weather-related behavioral shifts by watching how wild and domestic animals deal with the challenging changes of winter to come. The National Park Service's Voyager's Almanac addressed this topic in their recent October issue, describing the autumn kickoff to moose mating season. Quote, "Bull moose approach each other stiff-legged, head and antlers swaying back and forth. After furtive glances, one decides to avoid the confrontation and moves on," unquote. I sure hope the other moose also moves on. The thought of some poor old bull permanently committed to a fight that will never happen is sad. But doesn't it remind you of folks, not anyone I know, of course, who steadfastly maintain resentments even when the target of their ire has long since moved on? Knees and minds locked, swaying to the phantom chords of battle, winter comes, and they're buried alive in their angst. Yes, even in paradise, we humans can make life hell. Another creature, who acts in a way that reminds me of many in our community, was also featured in the October Almanac. Not the lofty eagle or magnificent wolf, but the lowly toad. The article describes a toad's autumnal activity thus, quote, "The American toad has begun to burrow into loose soil. Keeping just below the frost line, it will reach depths up to 3 feet from the surface by mid-December," unquote. While most of us who live here have any number of fair weather friends who spend half the year in sunny places, just below the frost line, so to speak, the other half of the year they spend here, regaling the rest of us about how nifty those warmer places are. For the past month, these snowbirds, have been packing their bags and arranging their house sitters. They are so sorry, they tell those of us who stay here all winter, that they won't be here to see us for the holidays or to volunteer for anything, but they'll be back come summer, just brimming with energy and opinions on how we've handled things in their absence. Bitter? Me? Heavens no! Just a tad self-righteous, that's all. Of course, the getting ready for winter champion of all critters is the good old beaver, as the almanac points out. Quote, "Beavers are most active on land in fall, building up an underwater catch of branches and layers of body fat. The catch helps the young survive the winter, and the body fat will help the adults." Maybe I should keep a copy of this article in my purse next time I visit the clinic, and my doctor informs me politely that my BMI, body mass indicator, is a bit on the high side. "It's survival, doctor," I'll explain, and hand him the magazine article. And it truly is survival, since most of our food sources, just like the beavers, disappear or are severely limited. Most local eateries in Grand Marais close for winter, and others limit their hours. So, of course, we need more than silk long johns and down coats for the cold to come. We need to bulk up under the skin as well. It's hard work, for sure, but most of us are up to it, and then some. Of course, winter's onset has its fair share of joys. The first woodland concert of the season came to me last night, for instance. The winter wolf pack in our East Meadow woods was in full throat. First one howl, high and mournful and long. Then another and another, until the hair stood up on my neck, and both labs fairly attached themselves to Paul's legs as he sat by the fire. Then at dawn, our spring chickens began singing. The five roosters, who were supposed to be hens, began having a crow off, sometimes to hilarious effect. Red Jr. doesn't have the golden vocal stylings of his dad, the late, great Winston. No, sadly, RJ's crows remind me and Paul more of Mel Brooks' Monster and Young Frankenstein, squawking out, "Putting on the Ritz!" And of course, this is the time of year when the Messiah concert singers begin rehearsals at Bethlehem Lutheran Church. Paul practices every Monday night and loves it, although he is placed this year on the top bleacher right under the huge evergreen wreath. Not that he's afraid of falling. He's just a little leery of that big old wreath coming down during one of the big final hallelujahs. And so it is in early November. The swain moves looking furtively at menacing memories, the tunneling toadies and chubby beavers, and the songsters in woods and churches, all reacting to the seasonal shift in their own ways. Annie Dillard, one of my favorite writers, observed, "We are here to witness the creation and abet it." And so, for those of us who winter in place, the abetting of creation, the howling, the crowing, the singing, and the snowing, is what makes life better than just pretty good. So pass those goo-goo supremes, if you please, and to heck with my BMI. Survival is sweet, even a good way above the frost line. For WTIP, this is Vicki Biggs Anderson with Magnetic North.